listening to the North Carolina Redo Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the March 2020 issue of Vanity Fair magazine, which features Ana de Armas on the cover. This is Vanity Fair Part A. Here are some of this month's contributors. Rachel Dodes, Hot But Not Bothered. In 2020, being horny often has nothing to do with being sexually aroused, says Dodes, a New York-based writer and co-host of the podcast Nope. You can be horny for justice, grocery stores, or binge-worthy shows. It's a state of mind, a cri de coeur, a conscious choice to be an enthusiast in a time of despair. Carlos Caeto Araujo, The Golden Age. Diddy's 50th birthday party brought out hip-hop's royalty, many of whom are, like their host, identifiable by a single name. Usher, Kanye, Lizzo, and all of them sat for Araujo in Vanity Fair's portrait studio. Just want to give a big thank you to Puff for allowing me to capture these images, says Araujo, capturing timeless images for me to share with the world is a blessing. Daniel Jackson, All That Jazz. Jackson's varied snapshots of today's brightest young actors make it hard to believe that the images were all taken in the same place. L.A.'s Palace Theater, the oldest Orpheum theater in the U.S. Alert to the unfolding possibilities of the photographic moment, Jackson utilized nearly every corner of the theater, including the freight elevator, back alley, and fire escape. Rich McHugh, An Oral History of a Predator. McHugh, who resigned from NBC News in 2018 after he and Ronan Farrow were ordered to stop investigating Harvey Weinstein, interviewed 30 of the disgraced movie mogul's accusers for this issue. This story taught me that the problem is so much larger than exposing one man, says the Emmy Award-winning journalist. Abuse is systemic in our culture. Cass Bird, All About Ana. Bird, a Vanity Fair contributing photographer, captured Ana de Armas among the trees of a Tuscan-style villa in Beverly Hills. She is a magic unicorn, Bird says, of the Knives Out and No Time to Die actor. She brought so much spirit and focus to this collaboration. After the shoot, de Armas flew to New Orleans to continue shooting Deep Water opposite Ben Affleck. And all of the contributors are pictured here. Thank you. Now on to the Vanity Fair agenda, promotion, and events. Watch Narcos Mexico Season 2. It's the mid-1980s as the super cartel originated by Felix Gallardo, played by Diego Luna, begins to splinter. Meanwhile, the American effort led by DEA agent Walt Breslin, played by Scoot McNairy, leads them further away from any hope for justice. Inspired by real events, Narcos Mexico chronicles the missteps and corruption on both sides of the border as the cycle of violence continues. Season 2 premieres February 13th on Netflix. Event: awards season begins with Audi. Hosted by Radhika Jones and Jennifer Salk, the head of Amazon Studios, Vanity Fair and Audi celebrated awards season with an intimate cocktail party at the exclusive San Vicente bungalows, where VIP guests arrived in the all-electric Audi e-tron. Drink Casa Dragones Joven. Casa Dragones Joven is a master blend of 100% pure blue, agave, silver, and extra-aged tequila, rested in new American oak barrels for 5 years for a complex, smooth taste that is perfect for sipping and pairing with food. Now here's this month's editor's letter from Radhika Jones, editor-in-chief. In the photos, Elisa Key, Keegan-Michael Key, Alfre Woodard, and Roderick Spencer, Jennifer Salk, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and Radhika Jones, Jones and Awkwafina, all at the Vanity Fair and Amazon Studios party, celebrating the Golden Globes in L.A. The year begins in January, obviously, but the wrap on this January was that it felt a year long. Britain left the European Union. Meghan and Harry left Britain. The Senate took leave of its common sense. I myself got a year older, which probably would have happened anyway, but I still blame Mitch McConnell. I don't know about you, but it added insult to injury every time news of world historical order dropped nonchalantly onto my phone via push notification, as if the death of the dream of a unified Europe was just another OS update. We can't turn back the clock, but what if we try starting fresh with spring and its leitmotifs of youth and renewal? Our March issue looks forward, starting with our cover star, Ana de Armas. You know her as the admirably cool, unlikely heroine of Rian Johnson's Knives Out. Weird that a film called Knives Out was my family's pick for a unifying, feel-good movie of the holiday season, but that's modern life for you. Who charmed audiences and Daniel Craig's Detective Benoit Blanc alike. De Armas is on the cusp of a big year, taking on roles that define iconic. Her upcoming projects include the new Bond movie and a biopic of Marilyn Monroe, based on the novel Blonde by Joyce Carol Oates. She grew up in Havana and still considers it home, but as Sloane Crosley writes, she's winning over Hollywood at warp speed. We also feature a portfolio of rising stars, such as Mia Goth and Jamila Jamil, clothed in some of the more opulent selections from the spring runways. Why opulence? Well, these are the 20s, after all, a decade that historically calls for excess. Not for nothing does Rachel Syme begin her essay with F. Scott Fitzgerald, undisputed bard of the jazz age and its devil-may-care parties. But as Syme writes, the silver lining of opulence these days comes with its touch of gray. The consciousness born of our age's retreats and our collective fears for our future. In retrospect, musing on the pages of Fitzgerald, I can't imagine his carefree flappers and gamblers had any idea what was coming to end their party, the magnitude of that curtain drop. We have, I hope, a more clear-eyed view, the better both to try to divert our path and to revel in the richness of talent, beauty, and art that inspires us to do it. on to the vanities, and my stuff, the finer things. The title of Athena Calderon's new book states her mission, Live Beautiful. Style file, always wear Bulgari B01 ring, go-to shoe, the row zipped boot, favorite bag, Chanel Classic Handbag, Spring-Summer 2020. Hair accessories, boring but scrunchies, no damage, thick hair black elastics. On beauty, lipstick, NARS Dragon Girl Velvet Matte Lip Pencil. Perfume, Le Labo Santal. Supplements, oregano oil capsules are my cure-all. Workout, Sky Ting Yoga. Soul Cycle, and a lil dancing with Megan Roop of or Forward Space. Sweet Home, new edition. I recently won my beloved vintage stool by Jean Prouvé at auction. Bedding, last light. Flora, seasonally cut branches like quince. Pottery, Japanese ceramic plates from Roman and Williams Guild. Four-legged friend, I just rescued the sweetest pup ever. We met at a film screening hosted by Diana Agron. He was being fostered by the PR girl. His name is Tuco Kismet Calderon. Cookware, Staub. Knives, Material or Global. Cutting board, Black Creek Mercantile and Trading Company in Maple. Paint, Farrow and Ball Ammonite. Leisure studies, listening to. People will make fun of me for this one. My 17-year-old son sure does. But I love my Pandora stations, Cigarettes After Sex Radio and Bob Dylan Radio. Favorite movie, Sabrina. Destination, Copenhagen. Cultural institution, the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Always alone, this is my sacred time. The menu, morning beverage, a beautiful latte with hemp milk from Chacha Matcha. Breakfast, white mustache sour cherry yogurt. Indulgence, Jim and Bolt Mezcal. Restaurant, Ignacio Matos Cafe Altro Paradiso, Estela or Flora Bar. Rachel Syme writes on beauty, Generation Next. Calvin Klein's iconic gender-neutral scent, CK1, is being reborn for a new creative class. Musician-actor Elliot Sumner speaks to the here and now. Photographs by Ian Kenneth Bird. Opening photo features a suit jacket and shirt by Saint Laurent by Anthony Vaccarello, styled by Ruben Moreira. It is impossible to pinpoint the moment that Gen X culture hit its zenith, but one could make a sound case for some time in 1994. That year was major. Tanya vs. Nancy, Pulp Fiction, Weezer's Buddy Holly, the birth of Lad Mags, the death of Kurt Cobain, the debut of Friends, and a few months later, The Rachel. In fashion, that was when grunge crossed over from mildewed Seattle rock venues into suburban malls, a trickle-down effect of Marc Jacobs' Spring 1993 collection for Perry Ellis, which put supermodels in flannel and knit beanies, and later got the designer fired. Soon, brands were bending sideways to appeal to next-gen consumers, whom they imagined to be disaffected, wary of being marketed to, and more or less against buying things. So, how do you sell consumer goods to anti-consumerist? The answer is much the same way that you would sell to anyone, by appealing to their vanity. At the time, no company did this more effectively than Calvin Klein, which sold $90 million in CK1 perfume to 20-somethings by offering a reflection of themselves as cool as hell. Androgynous, stoic, comfortable in scuffed lug sole boots and cheap satin slip dresses. The 1994 campaign for the unisex fragrance, shot in black and white by Steven Meisel, inspired by Andy Warhol's Factory Candids, featured a scrum of lithe young things, including Kate Moss. The model Jenny Shimizu, photographed with a buzz cut and a pair of low-slung jeans, became an underground style icon. All of those Calvin Klein campaigns, when I was a kid, were so iconic, says Elliot Sumner, speaking by phone from London. Born in 1990 to musician Sting and actress Trudy Styler, Sumner remembers gazing up at the billboards. Now, with the launch of CK Everyone, the 29-year-old is posing in those jeans. Rebooting an era-defining fragrance could be considered a play to nostalgia. Jacobs reissued that career-catalyzing collection in 2018. The 1995 album Jagged Little Pill is now a Broadway show. But CK1 remains particularly prescient. It introduced a new olfactive approach that wasn't fully feminine or masculine, says Alberto Morias, the perfumer who co-created the original scent, which evoked the frosted glass bottle it came in, translucent, clean, almost ghostly. Some whiffs recalled aftershave, others gave off puffs of powder and papaya. If it was daring to subvert the male-female dichotomy at that time, CK Everyone arrives at a moment where fluidity is the lingua franca. People are freeing themselves from the traditional restrictions of gender, says Marius, once again the nose. CK Everyone is about reveling in a kind of prismatic expressiveness. And the revels smell like orange and a hazy blue tea note. The cast of the new campaign also defies easy definition between their idiosyncratic styling and cross-genre work. The skater and photographer Evan Mock turns up with his lipstick pink hair. MLMA, the Korean musician and chameleonic makeup star, also makes an appearance. But it's Sumner, with lank waves and a bare face, who wears the 90s mantle for our multifaceted age. Music being the family trade, the performer, who uses gender-neutral pronouns, got an early start helming the band I Blame Coco. They later slipped into the DJ scene under the alias Val. Now, Sumner has a slate of projects ahead. There's an album in the making, a stripped-back effort they describe as very introspective and melancholic. They are also finding their footing on the big screen, with Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman out earlier this year, followed by No Time to Die next month. I'm the biggest James Bond nerd on the planet, so I felt that I'd manifested a dream, the actor says, of landing a part in Cary Joji Fukunaga's film. I play quite a terrifying, cold killer. A silent but deadly role that called for strength training and a combat coach. I can tell that our arm wrestling days are profoundly over, quipped a friend in response to a chiseled selfie. Next photo. Our subject, wearing a shirt by Dior Men, pants by Dior, throughout hair products by Bumble and Bumble. Ordinarily, though, Sumner has their usual armor. I tend to have a uniform every 3 to 4 years, they explain. Right now, it's jeans and white T-shirts, thanks to a fresh supply from Calvin Klein. For formal wear, they like British tailoring and Dior men suits, giving a shout-out to Kim Jones, the house's charismatic designer. They know what they want. I'm not an extremely, what's the word, compromising person when it comes to myself. When we speak, Sumner is daydreaming of the family's country place, a 16th-century English manor not far from Stonehenge. The eccentric neighbors have a camel named Timmy, whom Sumner considers a good friend. It's very easy for me to slip into that reclusive state, but I'm not a lonely person, they insist. Half the time they are in London for meetings. Then I head back to the countryside and build fires and live like a Wiccan. There's freedom in such wanderings and in other pursuits, painting. With acting, it's quite nice to not be the master of your kingdom for a bit. There's a script and someone to direct you, says Sumner. I've realized that it's a great avenue for me to express my sort of harbored intensity. They reflect back on the day they wrapped the Bond film, finally letting that character's tough exterior crack open. Everyone started clapping, and I just broke down in front of like 300 people. It was one of the best releases I've ever had. What made Sumner so emotional was the sudden possibility of change. They didn't have to be a legacy musician. They could start a new chapter. If Sumner embodies the spirit of CK Everyone, it is in that constant refusal to stop moving. The only hitch? I have to be honest with you, I don't actually have a sense of smell, says Sumner, citing a long-ago head injury. Not that they mind much. I make up for it in other ways. To each their own, anything goes from no-rules runway looks to Boy de Chanel nail polish debuting in buff and black. But who's to say gentlemen don't prefer pink? In the photos, shoes, Saint Laurent by Anthony Vaccarello. Noto Botanics, The Wash. Timothée Chalamet, sporting glossed lips on the red carpet. Calvin Klein, CK Everyone. A look from the Comme des Garçons Homme Plus Spring 2020 collection. Chanel Boy de Chanel nail color. Available in May. Moving on to what's trending, Dreamweavers. Channel the prismatic hues of neo-impressionism on view this spring at MoMA's Félix Fénion, the anarchist and the avant-garde from Signat to Matisse and beyond, with all things laced, latticed, and knit large. In the photos, Paul Signat's Opus 217, against the enamel of a background rhythmic with beats and angles, tones, and tints, portrait of M. Félix Fénion in 1890. Net positive, Carolina Bucci bracelet, priced at $15,600. Nelgona dining chair by Chris Walston, price available upon request. Salvatore Ferragamo dress, price also upon request. Dior Spring 2020 ready-to-wear collection blouse, $1,400. Skirt, price upon request. Sandals, $650. Earrings, $460. Necklace, $2,450. Ring, $480. Belt, $990. Prada shoes, $850. Dolce & Gabbana Spring 2020 menswear collection sweater, $8,395. Shirt, $215. Pants, $975. Miu Miu bag, $1,220. Hermes Rouge Hermes Totem Lipsticks and Coral Fou and Violet Insensé, $72 each. Fendi Knit, $3,390. A lot of expensive woven products. Thank you. And from Daisy Shaw Ellis comes this on What's Trending. With photograph by Horacio Salinas, this is huge. The sheer magnitude of this oversized bag from Bottega Veneta, topping out at the height of an average toddler, makes room for everything, your practical compact, to the point of delightfully absurd, and your St. Bernard puppy. Creative director Daniel Lee says he strives for attention between the bold and the glamorous, and what's more boldly glam than having it all, including the option to bring it all with you. In the photo, Bottega Veneta Maxi BV Jody bag, $6,250. Dress, $1,490. Styled by Daisy Shaw Ellis. Vanity Fair, Hollywood Calling, open through July 26th. Vanity Fair, Hollywood Calling features photographic portraiture and multimedia installations that capture the magic and glamour of the film and television industry's major players from the last four decades. The exhibition is a look at the Hollywood stars, the parties, and the power brokers through the distinctive lens of Vanity Fair, the most widely celebrated journalistic arbiter of Hollywood power and personality. The new exhibition at Annenberg Space for Photography, 2000 Avenue of the Stars, Los Angeles. Admission always free. And in the photo, Lupita Nyong'o, photographed by Jackie Nickerson. From Vanity Fair, October 2019. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service and broadcasting from its studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Vanity Fair Part B airs via special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Both Parts A and B are available as a podcast. Opening and closing music by Calexico. Interval selections by Mark Hoffman.